around. You like to take the time. Right to check outside the games. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that home out on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
Hey everybody, welcome you all to Drive to HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals, where your host Brian Wimpen, William Tinkup, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about human resources with our wonderful guests. Well, today, my partner, Brian Wimpen, is supporting Missouri Shrimp Conference 2013, so he's not available to do his show with us. But stay tuned. We're going to do two special shows today and tomorrow at 1 o'clock Central Time. Missouri Shrimp Conference coming to you live. So stay tuned at 1 o'clock Central Time. You will be able to get to know all the great details that's happening at Missouri Shrimp Conference. So at this point, we have our guest, Sherry Hurley. I guess she has called into our show. Let's see, who is this?
Hi, this is Sherry.
Hey, Sherry, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, this is Nisha, and our partners in crime, Ryan Wimpen and William Tinkup, are not available at this moment. Unfortunately, we couldn't talk during the pre-show, so we are live on air right now.
Okay, great.
Cool. So do us a favor. Please go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience. So, and we will talk more about what's keeping you up at night.
So my name is Sherry Hurley, and I run a training business called Candid Culture. And I work with organizations all over the U.S. and all over the world, helping their employees and managers and customers feel more comfortable telling the truth at work. So really, it's all about candor in the workplace. And I'm on the show today to talk about my new book, which is called How to Say Anything to Anyone, A Guide to Building Business Relationships That Really Work.
Cool, that's interesting. How to Say Anything to Anyone, right? So, Sherry, yeah, we couldn't talk during the pre-show, and the format is just simple. You know, a lot of HR professionals normally join the show, and we open the platform to talk anything about your interest, or we will ask, like, what's keeping you up at night, or what's keeping your clients up at night. So you're free to take the conversation, you're free to direct the conversation anywhere you want it to be. So let me ask you, what's keeping you up at night?
Well, I'll talk on my clients' behalf. So I think what keeps business owners, managers, leaders up at night are several things. One is, how do I keep my people engaged? How do I not walk by their computers and see them, you know, surfing Facebook and they minimize when I walk by? I think that's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think getting employees and managers to have more feedback and more candor is a huge issue. So in the workplace, I think for the most part, most people are afraid to speak up. CEOs get almost no information at all because people are afraid of their title. You know, employees don't tell managers when they're dissatisfied because they're afraid that they'll be fired or laid off. So they, you know, stealthily start job hunting versus giving their manager the information they need to get a job. And managers don't want to deal with employees' defensiveness, so they give very little feedback because they don't want to deal with someone freaking out. So there's very little truth. And I think it's unfortunate but unnecessary.
That's really interesting, and I'm sure you might be dealing with a lot of your clients, and through all that experience, what are you hearing from your CEOs? What are their concerns at this point, you know, talking about engagement, and especially, as you said, an employee or manager relationship?
I think CEOs really want to know what's happening in their business, and they want to know what's really going on. So what are employees satisfied with? What are they dissatisfied with? But also, like, what's really going on with customers and business results? Because nobody wants to tell the CEO that they're not doing a good job. No one wants to tell the CEO that a customer fired us or is unhappy. So people kind of, I'm not saying they lie. It's not that people lie. We just don't give the whole story, and then the CEO doesn't have the whole picture. And that's a problem. You know, and the better your title gets in a business, the less data you get, because the more intimidating you become. And it doesn't matter how open or warm or friendly you are. People are just intimidated by the title, which honestly I don't understand, because it's very difficult in this country to get fired. And yet people are so afraid of speaking up. So the work I do with my customers, my clients, is really a methodology to create more candor and less fear in the workplace at all levels and with all types of relationships. So I give people a system to follow, and that's what's in our training programs and in the book, so that they can feel more comfortable speaking up.
So talking about this title, and as you said, something is holding them back in speaking up. So how can we really get rid of this fear?
So I feel very strongly that people have actually been well-trained not to tell the truth. So when we're little kids, we say what we think. Little kids will say anything, right? And our parents are very quick to say, oh, that wasn't nice. You know, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. You know, and then we get to school and we say what we think, and the teacher says, oh, that wasn't nice, don't say that. You know, and then we get to our first real corporate job and we say what we think because we don't know any better. And then we find out that the senior leader didn't really want to know what we thought. And I think by the time someone gets to our current workplace, they've been so well-trained that they get in trouble for speaking up that nobody says anything. And they just keep their thoughts to themselves. So if you really want to create an environment where people can tell the truth, you need to retrain them to do so, which is really what I'm up to in life.
Interesting. Well, talking about, as you said, you know, people are trained not to tell the truth. And most often, you know, especially in business, we cannot please everybody. And, if you're going to please everybody, you're not good enough to do a business, right? But when a leader's perspective or from a CEO's perspective, what's their role in terms of influencing their followers or their employees by telling the truth?
That's a good question. So I think leaders and managers can give more information than they think they can. So it's interesting. Last week I did a training and I emceed the Colorado Best Companies Awards Luncheon. And this was the Colorado SHRM, you know, state conference, state council. And we do an annual contest, really, of who are the best companies to work for in Colorado. So I did a training before we did the awards, and I really focused on four things. And there's a lot of research on this, and people could go in circles and spend so much time and money trying to be a best place to work. And it really boils down to four very simple things, and I'll give them to your listeners today. Number one, people will follow leaders they trust. So leaders need to be a little more transparent and give more information on how the company is doing. So if people on the phone are not doing town hall meetings where they're giving financial updates on the company, how is the company doing, how does the company make money, you know, who has fired us customer-wise, what was the feedback, who have we taken on, what are our next coming big projects, those are things you should be giving to your employees quarterly. Employees at all levels really want to know how the company is doing. And when they know that, they feel more connected and they understand better how they contribute to the bottom line. Otherwise, it's very easy to feel that your work doesn't matter and you're a cog in a wheel, and then if you slack and do your minimal best and clock it in, it's not a big deal. So number one is give more data from a leadership perspective. And number two is for leaders to have more contact with employees. Employees want to know the leaders, but they're often kind of at the top and they're hard to get access to. So roundtable discussions, lunches, you know, ask the CEO inboxes, ask the CEO meetings, maybe with 10 employees once a quarter, just things that give accessibility and show that your leaders are human and help your employees form a relationship with them. That's the second thing. And the third is people want to work for people who care about them and invest in their careers. And there's lots of research that the number one reason for people leaving a job is their manager. Like, my manager, you know, I don't have a good relationship. They don't help promote me. They don't support me. So I gave the folks in the class a tool to really create different conversations with their employees. And the tool really just contained questions. Questions like, you know, what are you enjoying that you're doing? What are you not enjoying? What have you learned about yourself in the last 6 months? What have you learned about the company? What do you need from me? You know, what feedback do you have? And really to create more dialogue with managers and employees. And then I recommended a practice that I'll recommend to everybody in any company, anywhere, is every time you meet with your employees, give one piece of positive and one piece of negative feedback. Because as hard as that is, employees genuinely want to know. And my language for this is create occasions for candor. The more you talk the truth, and the quicker it is, and the faster, and the more frequent, the easier it is. But we wait too long to have tough conversations, and then they feel huge and difficult. So those were my four top tips. And anyone listening, I suggest you try it if you want a more candid culture with employees who are more loyal and more committed to your company.
That is such a great insight, Sherry. Well, talking about, as you said, you know, yeah, of course, everybody wanted to work with somebody who really cared about others. And from an employee's perspective, they really want to work with their managers or a company where they should feel like, yeah, I belong there, right? So what are some best practices that you see your clients or that you recommend your clients do in terms of sharing the information to their employees, you know, telling what their company stands for and how are they doing in terms of business and what kind of an impact each and every single one is making to their company? So what do you say for that?
I wouldn't spend lots of time and money on mission statements and vision statements. I think they often are meaningless to employees. We put them on a wall. We spend a long time creating them. We pay someone for help, and they don't really speak to employees. So what I would say, you know, I saw a blog a few weeks ago that by someone who does what I do for a living, right, like meaning they run a similar training company, not the same content, but, you know, the concept. And his subject of his blog was, you can't change an organization's culture. And I have to say that that is such a bunch of garbage. What creates organizational culture is every employee at every level's actions on a daily basis. That's what creates culture, is what do we do and what do we say and how do we treat people and our customers every day. So if a leader wants to influence that, I think you have to come out very strong and say, this is what it means to work here. These are the very few behaviors that we are governed by, and we only hire people who we think demonstrate them. We hold people accountable to these behaviors, and we ourselves at all levels in leadership mimic these behaviors, and we practice them, and we walk our talk. And then leaders need to find ways to get that information out. One of them is town halls. One of them is regular meetings. One of them is, you know, memos or blogs or voicemails that go to companies. But you need to be consistent, right? Be consistent. I was talking to one of my clients, and they had a lack of trust in one of their senior leaders. And there was a company policy that was, you cannot talk on your cell phone when you drive. Because they're a manufacturing company and they have high safety standards. So that was a company standard. You cannot talk and drive. And yet, someone saw a senior leader on his phone talking and driving. Well, that does not engender loyalty or trust. So you can't have separate rules for you and your employees. If you're a leader, the rules apply, right? Get rid of your vice president parking spots. That sends a message that VPs are more important than everybody else. You know, if you're cutting costs and you're telling employees they need to travel cheap and stay cheap, you can't have an executive retreat at the Ritz-Carlton. And yet lots of companies still do that. Employees see that and they think, well, these people are liars and they're more important than me. That's not going to create the culture that you want. So I'm not saying that everyone gets treated the same. I mean, people at a senior level have earned the right to more money, more stock options, and perks. But you can't say we're cutting costs and then, you know, go to the Ritz. You just can't do that.
Totally true. Leaders should model the behavior. And the right kind of behavior if you wanted to have from your employees, you should reflect that also. So let me do a quick visit. Everybody, you are listening to Drive Through HR, and this is Misha talking to our wonderful guest, Sherry Hulley, and a quick shout out to Missouri SHRM Conference 2030. Stay tuned today and tomorrow, 1 o'clock Central Time. We're going to be doing a special live show right from Missouri SHRM Conference. So, Sherry, going back to one of your quote, you mentioned about the culture. But I have this question in my mind, and I ask everybody who generally talk about culture and leadership. Does organization culture change when its leadership changes? What do you think?
Will you ask your question again? Culture change and what about leadership changes?
Mm-hmm. So normally, you know what, the leaders sometimes, you know, due to mergers and acquisition, we can say that leaders are getting changed. And as you said, the titles, they might leave the company at some point, but what happens to the employees who are really working for a longer period of time with the company, and a new leader is coming, a new, what would I say, character or attitude, I don't know, but he needs to reflect the culture that's been there for a longer period of time. So my question is, does this organization culture change when its leadership changes?
That's a good question. And I'll answer the question in a second. I just do want to do a shout-out for your Missouri SHRM Conference. I spoke at the Missouri SHRM Conference last year. I did a program called Avoiding the Quit and Stay Phenomenon, and you guys have a great conference. So I hope you're having a good experience there and you have a great time. So, but to answer your question,
mm-hmm.
you know, when a leader changes, that's when people get nervous, they get scared, and when there's a high degree of turnover. So that's the most predictable time when employees quit, is either when there's been a layoff or a change in leadership, because people get frightened. So I'll say two things about this. I think it's very easy as an employee to feel out of control in an organization, especially when there's a leadership change. We're not calling the shots. We're not the most senior person. Someone else makes the decision. I think it's very easy to think that. And what I would suggest to the folks on the phone to share with their employees and for their own careers is that we need to take more control of our own careers and not wait for a leader to set the culture. So what I would recommend, and these are straight out of the book, How to Say Anything to Anyone, out of my book, are a couple questions. And if you have a pen, maybe write them down. And I can also direct you to my website where you can get some sample questions at Candid Culture. So I'm going to rattle off some questions that I think employees should ask new leaders and that leaders should ask employees. If you want these questions, here's where you should go, is candidculturepress.com. That's candidculturepress.com. Go to questions to ask at work, and you can download our sample questions there. But here are a couple. So first of all, as an employee, everyone should ask the person they work for, what's most important that I get done in the next 30, 60, or 90 days? Don't guess what your boss is expecting. He or she may not set clear, realistic expectations. You need to be responsible for doing that. Then I would ask, what are your goals? What are you working on this year? What are you worried about? Like your question, what keeps you up at night? So questions like that. So you should know your boss's goals, and because your goals are an extension of his or her goals, but a lot of us don't know that. So I think employees need to be accountable and ask those questions. Leaders should ask questions like, why did you come to work here? What keeps you here? Why do you stay? I want you to stay. I want you to be happy. What keeps you at this company? What would make you leave? And I would preface it with, I'm not trying to get you to leave. I want you to stay. But what are the things that would have you go job hunting so that I can avoid those if possible? You know, what do you like working about? What do you like about this organization? What's frustrating? What's a good decision we made here in the last 6 months? What's a decision you question? Do you recommend that your colleagues and your friends work here? Would you recommend that your family works here? If not, why not? Do you buy our products and services? If not, why not? So I'm fond of asking way more questions at work than we ask now. And really, much of the book, How to Say Anything to Anyone, is not what it sounds like. It's not a feedback book. I get to chapter 9 before I get to feedback. what the book's really about is what questions should I ask and what conversations should I be having to create more candor in my workplace. That's really what the book's about. So the questions I just rattled off are located throughout the book. And that's really what I think helps create a more candid, loyal, and open culture.
That's interesting. Well, I just tweeted it out, candidculturepress.com,
oh,
so that
you.
People can access it.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
Yeah, that's great. And I work with lots and lots of SHRM chapters around the country, so lots of your colleagues already have these questions and these tips. And some folks who were at the SHRM conference last year, they got question cards from me that have some of these questions on them. So maybe some folks listening actually have some of this already if they were at last year's conference.
Wow, that's interesting. That's really, really helpful. Well, let's talk about these managers a little bit, because most of the time, companies and their leadership, let's just say CEOs, rely most on their managers in terms of creating that engagement factor in employees, right? Because they are ultimately the people every day interacting with that bottom line employees, right?
Correct.
So what do you suggest for them, you know, to not to become a manager, but to become a leader for that particular group that they need to inspire or they need to motivate?
So your question is, what's the difference really between a manager and a leader, and how do you become more of a leader versus a manager?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I think, you know, we have this delineation between managers and leaders, and they'll say that, you know, leaders inspire people and really have people, you know, reach their best and give vision and direction, and managers really are taskmasters or are managing the day-to-day, and they're not a leader. There's a difference. I actually think that's not true. You know, when I was a manager, I mean, now I never saw myself as not a leader, right? I was a manager and a leader. And I think the behaviors that go with both are give people a sense of where you're going. Where is your department headed and why? People want to know why. And one upgrade I think most managers and leaders could make is to add the words, here's why we're doing this, to almost everything they do. Your employees, for the most part, will play along. They will get on board. They will participate. They will come in early and stay late and get dressed up when executives come. And they'll do what you want them to do, but they want to know why. They're, you know, little kids, their favorite word is why. Why? And as adults, I don't know that it's any different, right? We want to know why. Now, some managers are like, it doesn't matter why, just do it. Well, you know, something that doesn't really work. So I think, number one, if you want to shift from, you know, more of a I manage the day-to-day to I inspire and lead, is give people a sense of where you're going as an organization, as a department. Tell them why, and then tell them how they contribute. Because some people don't see how they contribute. The lower you get in an organization, the further you feel, obviously, from the top and from the vision of the company. And it's very easy, like let's say you're in customer service. It's very easy to lose sight of how you contribute to the business. But customer service contributes in a huge way, as does technology and IT and desktop support. But when you're in the cog of it, like you're in the work in the midst of it, it's hard to see it. So I think a leader and a manager's job is to help people rise above the day-to-day and see how they contribute to the end game. And when people are in touch with that, they actually perform better because they feel more accountable and that they're contributing. People want to contribute to something bigger than themselves. That's just that's like a life phenomenon. I want to contribute to something bigger than myself. So don't make your employees guess how they contribute. Tell them.
Yeah, it's all about connecting the dots, right?
Correct. Yes, I agree.
So let's move into a little bit of the feedback mechanism. You know, most of the time I've seen that when people deliver that feedback, especially the negative feedback, the employees, the normal employees, sometimes they become defensive. So what's your take or what's your advice to those managers? How do they present this positive and negative feedback, and how do they find a balance and present it in a much better manner?
Good question. So first of all, I don't think they sometimes become defensive when they get feedback. I think they always do. And I think anyone at any level in any job gets defensive when they get feedback. And if people don't, you should be worried, because it's how human beings are wired. We are wired, our reflexes are to defend ourselves. It's natural, it's a gut reaction. So when anyone calls our performance into question and says, you know, you didn't do something well, the human psyche is going to get defensive. So the first thing I tell managers is this: you are not responsible for someone's reaction. You are responsible to have the relationship to deliver hard feedback in a way that can be heard, and you're responsible for your delivery. So here are some techniques, and these are straight out of the book. If you want more, read the book, How to Say Anything to Anyone. You can also download an excerpt on Candid Culture Press. You can read some of this yourself, or we've got videos on YouTube. I've got lots of tips out there. But here's some language I teach my clients. Number one, when you get a new employee, you say, I want to be the best boss you've ever had. We're going to have good times. We're going to have challenging times. You can always guarantee that I will tell you the truth. When I see you say, do, or wear anything that either promotes how I think you want to be seen here or gets in the way of that, I'm going to tell you. And I'm doing that because I care about you and your career and because I have your back. And if I'm not candid with you, I'm useless to you as a manager. So please take my feedback in the spirit it's intended and know that I want your feedback as well. So I call this planting seeds, paving the way, setting expectations. Tell your employees up front, I will give you feedback, and here's why. Now, it's obvious that you're going to give feedback because that's what managers do. That's our job. But you're laying the groundwork, telling your employees, I'm doing this because I care, not to make you feel small or judged. People will be less defensive when they know why you're giving the feedback. So if they trust your motives, you can say more than if they don't. Like, think about the people in your life who love you. They have your back. You love them. These are the people who can be an hour late, and you're like, no worries. They can say anything to you, right? They can say, that guy's terrible for you, dump him, or those pants are not your friend, get rid of those. But then think of the people you don't have a good relationship with, right? They can't do anything. They're 5 minutes late. You're like, yeah, you're so unreliable. You know, or they say, you know, you made a mistake. I did not. You know, the key with not being so defensive is the relationship. So any conversation you're struggling with, you're like, I can't say it. You can say it, but not until you work on your relationship. It's not a feedback issue. Part of the reason I don't give I give an 8-step feedback formula for people to follow that's very straightforward, and I'll be happy to demo it if you want me to. But it takes me 9 chapters in the book to get there because that's not what's missing. What's missing in tough conversations is the lack of relationships. So I know a lot of people have the book, especially in HR. They have difficult conversations books, crucial conversations, fierce conversations, dealing with difficult people. And most of you have classes where you may teach this, and yet people are still not candid. Like, I led training for Oppenheimer Funds, which is my background, right? I led leadership development training internally and succession planning, and I worked in HR for 8 years before I went into operations and then started my business. And managers didn't give feedback no matter how much training they had. It didn't matter how much feedback training they had. And my hunch is your listeners have the same experience. What's missing is the trust that I can open my mouth and the person won't freak out.
Well, it's been a really great conversation, Sherry. Thank you so much for joining with us today, and it's really an honor to have you here with us today. So we have 1 minute left right now. So where can people come and find you? Where can people connect with you? Where can they find more details about your book?
Great. Thank you for asking. I'd love to connect with all of you, and I'd love to hear from you. Our training website is Candid Culture, C-A-N-D-I-D, so Candid, and then Culture. And it's candidculture.com, and that will give you access to our weekly tips. If you want to receive those, you can sign up to read an excerpt from the book. If you go to the shop on Candid Culture, it'll take you to Candid Culture Press, and that's where you can read about the questions I cited. And the book is, of course, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and you can get it anywhere. It's in the airports, things like that. And the book is How to Say Anything to Anyone, a guide for building business relationships that really work. And my name is Shari, S-H-A-R-I, Harley, H-A-R-L-E-Y, and I really appreciate being with you today.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry, and stay tuned, everybody. We're going to be live at 1 o'clock Central Time today and tomorrow. Talk to you all soon.